If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts chapter 4 this morning. Once again, we are going to take a bit of a break from our series in James. The Lord to tarry, I promise, we will finish it at some point. This morning for us here at New Life, it is both the first Sunday of our November month of missions, and it is as well Communion Sunday. In a few minutes, we'll gather at the Lord's table. We will remember His body broken, His blood shed. We will celebrate healing that is ours, forgiveness that is ours, salvation that is ours, redemption that is ours, victory that is ours. And at His table today, we will look forward to the day when we will celebrate with Him at His heavenly table, as it were. So this morning, in light of that, we turn our attention, we turn our hearts to Jesus. It really is true. He is the message of our mission, after all. Think of that for a moment. Isn't it true? Jesus is the message of missions. And He is the Lamb that was slain, whose blood washes away all our sin, whose broken body is reason for the healing of ours. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, we read this: "And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are partners with those called to heaven, think carefully. Consider this Jesus, whom we declare to be God's messenger and the high priest of our faith." In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." And really, better to say, let us fix and in fact keep fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This morning, the invitation to each of us in this room: consider Jesus. Think carefully about Him. This morning, can I encourage us, each and every one, fix your eyes on Jesus today, who endured the cross for you and for me, who sits today at the right hand of the Father, who makes intercession for us even now in this moment, who is the perfecter of your faith and mine. Consider Jesus, what we've heard of Him, what we know of Him, what we've seen Him do, what we've experienced in Him, what we've experienced because of Him, what we've received from Him. Consider Jesus, who He is to you, what He's been to you, what He's been for you. Consider Jesus and what He does, what He has done for you, what He continues to do for you, what He will do for you. Consider Jesus, and this morning, as you do that, what about Him? What about what He's done in you and for you? What about it all settles in your mind and in your heart? As you carefully consider Him, as you fix your eyes and your thoughts on Him, your heart on Him, Jesus, what is it that you consider? What is it that you think about? What is it that you reflect on? Maybe His love for you. How difficult it would be to not start with that, right? He loves us. Personalize that this morning, would you? He loves me because He does. He cares for me. He watches over me. He protects me. One author says it this way: God is for you. Turn to the sidelines. That's God cheering your run. Look past the finish line. That's God applauding your steps. Listen for Him in the bleachers, shouting your name. Too tired to continue? He'll carry you because He loves you and is for you. Too discouraged to fight? He's picking you up because He loves you and He's for you. Had He a calendar? your birthday would be circled. If he drove a car, your name would be on his bumper. If there's a tree in heaven, he's carved your name in the bark. All because he loves you and he's for you. As you consider him, as you consider Jesus this morning, consider that. He loves you. He's gracious towards you. He's merciful. He's full of compassion towards you. In Psalm 103, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Consider his forgiveness of your sin this morning. Though stained as scarlet, he makes you to be white as snow. In Micah 7, you will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Consider his salvation. You were a child in the dark and of the darkness. That's how and where you lived. The dark. You were not good people. You were in the dark and of the darkness. You were an enemy of God. In sin, in rebellion against him. You lived your life in opposition to him. You were far away. Oh, but don't you know it to be true? In Jesus, and because of Jesus, you have been brought near. Made children of light, no longer an enemy. He calls you friend. He makes you to be his very own child, his son, his daughter, a joint heir with Jesus. Do you understand? His salvation. Jesus makes you like he is. Just as he is God's son, so are you his son, his daughter, his child. This morning, just for a few minutes, this is what we do. We consider Jesus. What we've heard of him. What have you heard of him? What we know of him. What we've seen him do. What we've experienced in him and because of him. What we've received from him. What have you experienced in Jesus? What have you received because of Jesus? We consider Jesus. Who he is, what he does. Who he is and what he does for you. What settles in your mind as you consider who he is? As you consider what he's done for you, what thoughts do you think of? Maybe this, consider his strength, his power. Is there anything he cannot do? There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing too hard for him. There's nothing impossible for him. His strength, his power. This is what you have heard. This is what you know. This is what you've seen and experienced. His power to heal you. Listen, he's the healer. Hasn't he been that for you? Hasn't he healed you? Don't you have a testimony this morning of his healing? There might be more that you need him still to do. In spite of that, don't miss considering this. He's the healer. He's your healer of anything, of everything that would afflict us. He's the healer. Do you need him to be the healer today? Oh, then have I got good news for you. He's the healer. And his power to heal is more than enough for anything you would ever need healing from. In Acts chapter 9, Peter is in Lydda. In verse 33, there he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up. Take care of your mat, and immediately Aeneas got up. Listen to me this morning, just for a moment. If you, talking about you in the room, if you need healing today, would you just lift your hand? If there's pain in your body, you need healing. It's many of us. Listen to me. Keep your hand lifted for a minute. Just close your eyes. I don't say it flippantly or casually. I don't just misuse or abuse God's word. Listen to me. Jesus Christ heals you. He's the healer. Say that this morning. Personalize it. He's my healer. Before you put your hand down, he's my healer. Come on. In faith, declare it. I'm healed in the name of Jesus Christ because he's my healer. Hallelujah. You can put your hands down. Jesus heals you today. Of course he does. Of course he does. Why would we think it odd? Why would we think it abnormal healing from him when he is the healer after all? Of course he heals us because his is the power over all sickness and over all disease. His is the power to deliver you. Psalm 33, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. I was thinking of this, his power to deliver, coupled with his grace and mercy. Isn't it true, Jesus, he even delivers us out of the trouble that is our doing. He delivers us when he shouldn't. We're in the mess because the mess is what we deserve. Because we made the messy decision. We did the messy thing. Oh, but this is the grace and this is the mercy of the Lord. Even then, he delivers us. Even then, he rescues us. The problem was ours. The fault was ours. Oh, but in those moments, he makes his power to be ours. And by his power, we experience deliverance. No matter the affliction, even in any and all afflictions, many as they may be, he delivers us from them all. In Revelation 19, this is the roar of worship that resounds throughout heaven. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Listen, it's true. His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His is the power then to heal you, deliver you, help you, rescue you. Listen, never mind your circumstances and the presumed impossibility of them. This morning we consider Jesus. We turn our eyes on Jesus. We fix our thoughts on Jesus and his power over any and everything that's come against you. His power over any and everything that you're dealing with. Listen, his is the power over your enemy. His is the power to enable you to live in victory over the enemy, over sin, over addiction, over depression, over fear, worry, anxiety, over any and everything that would plague you. Listen, his is the power, power enough to set you free, to break the bars that have imprisoned you, the chains that have bound you, set you free from anything, from everything the devil would do to steal and kill and destroy in you. Listen, his is the power, power enough to make you to be today more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. His is the power to protect you from the enemy. His is the power to surround you with his hedge of protection, to surround you with his guarding angels so that the devil nor any enemy of yours can harm you. Listen, his is the power to change what the devil meant for your harm. His is the power to turn it around and turn it to good for you. His is the power to turn your tragedy into triumph, your setback into a comeback, your misery into a miracle. Has there been some of that for you? Has there been the devil's harm perpetrated against you? Has there been the tragedy? Has there been the misery? Has there been the setback? Oh, but this morning, listen, we consider Jesus. We fix our eyes on Him and His power to turn it all around. Listen, for you, He can. He does. He will. His is the power to sustain you, even in the wilderness wandering seasons of your life. His is the miracle, the wonder-working power. Calm the seas, the wind and the waves, power. Turn the water into wine, power. Open Bartimaeus' blind eyes, power. Call forth 4 days dead Lazarus from the tomb, power. Listen, it's true. His is the resurrection power. Simply put, this morning, for whatever you need, for whatever you're going through, His power is enough. As you consider Him, as you consider Jesus this morning, consider that. Whatever your sickness, whatever your pain, His power is enough. Whatever the problem, whatever the difficulty, His power is enough to deliver you, to rescue you. Whatever the attack of the enemy against you, whatever the harm done, His the power enough to protect you, keep you, sustain you, strengthen you. His power enough to, from the devil's harm, work things out for your good. Whatever the need, His power enough to be for you your miracle worker. Consider Him, Jesus, today. Consider the authority that is His. All authority that is His. In Old Testament scripture, He is El Elyon. He is God the highest one. God the exalted one. Listen, He's as high up as you can go. He is over everything. He is greater than anything. In Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and all authority in earth has been given to Him. Jesus is high and exalted, the ruling and reigning authority over it all. He is the sovereign Lord. In Colossians 1, He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together, in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, powers, rulers, authorities. All things, anything, everything was created by Him and for Him. In Hebrews 2, everything has been put under His feet. In putting everything under Him, God left nothing that is not subject to Him. He has supreme authority. He has authority over it all. He rules and reigns over it all. There is nothing that is not subject to His lordship. One day the kings of the earth, all of them, with all of their wicked and evil armies, even as well with all the hordes of hell, all of them will join together. And this is the picture presented in Revelation. They will all come against the Lamb. Oh, but not to worry, because the Lamb will overcome them. Because the Lamb, He is the Lord of lords. And He's the King of kings. Do you understand? In all of heaven, over and in all the earth, He has all authority. In Philippians chapter 2, God has exalted Him to the highest place and given to Him the name that is above every name. Oh, the sweetest name. We know that at the name of Jesus, listen now, every knee should bow. Of course, because he has all authority. He has all power. Every knee bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We don't have to wait till then. Just right now, can you just say it? Jesus Christ is Lord. Would you say that? Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, he is. Of course he is. He is Lord over it all. Come on, speak it. Jesus Christ is Lord over my family. Jesus Christ is Lord over my children. Jesus Christ is Lord over my doctor. Jesus Christ is Lord over my boss. Jesus Christ is Lord over my banker. Jesus Christ is Lord over it all. He has all authority. Consider that of him today. All the power, all the authority. Consider his generosity, his kindness, his blessing. Listen, to supply and to provide for you all of your needs according to his riches and glory. The message says it like this: you can be sure that God will take care of everything you need. Of course you can. Listen to me, brother, sister, for real. Why so worried? Have you forgotten to consider Jesus? In light of your bills, in light of rising costs, have you fixed your eyes on the economy instead of on him? If you'll turn to him this morning, I'm telling you, there will be a faith that will rise within you, a confidence that will say, I can be sure of this, that God will take care of everything I need. One author writes of the importance of changing our thinking. Really, their message, like ours today, rather than considering the things that make us to be anxious and fearful, consider Jesus, his word, his promises. They write this: any trigger about money leads me to fear. Thoughts of how I don't have enough, my need to save more to create security. And when I'm triggered about money, I fall into a rut. That's the way my brain works. So I need to create a trench of truth. From his word, I put together what I call a declaration. What I'm declaring to be true in my battle against the lies I'm tempted to believe. The goal of the declaration is to have it become my new neural pathway, my intentionally dug trench of truth. And finally then, related to money, their declaration. Money is not and never will be a problem for me, because my God is an abundant provider who meets every need. Because I am blessed by him, my provider, I will always be a blessing. I will be like him. I will lead the way with irrational generosity. In 2 Corinthians 9, and God will generously provide all you need, more than you need, so that you will always have all you need for yourselves and plenty left over to share with others. The message, again, begins this way: God can pour on the blessing in astonishing ways. You know it's true. You know it's what you know. It's what you've seen him do in your life for you. That's what you've experienced from him. The extravagant, irrational generosity of God. His kindness. His blessings to numerous to count. Consider Jesus. The hope we have in him. Hope in this life. Our missionary on Wednesday night put it this way: the world is misbehaving. It's getting darker and darker out there. But then he added this: that presents an opportunity, though, maybe the greatest opportunity, for the church to separate itself from the world and let the world see in us a difference. Isn't it true? Jesus makes the difference. Come on, you know it's true. That's what you know. That's what you've heard. That's what you've seen. That's what you've experienced. Jesus makes the difference. This is why you ought not act like the world acts. Jesus makes the difference. This is why you ought not panic like the world panics when the world panics. This is why you ought not be afraid like the world would be afraid when the world gets afraid. This is why you ought not worry like the world worries about the stuff the world worries about. Because Jesus makes the difference. This is what you know. This is what we consider this morning as we consider Him. Consider the hope we have in Him for this life and for the one to come. He is the resurrection and the life after all. Whoever believes in Him does have eternal life. You will remember from back in the day, Paul and Delta Bolinowski, they actually visited not too long ago. Paul took terribly sick, and this last week passed away. I had a chance to visit with Delta, and we talked about the end, as it were, for Paul's life. But at a point in the conversation, there was just a reminder, and I shared it with Delta. Delta, our words, our talk is wrong. Because there's nothing about this that is the end for Paul. For the believer, death is never the end. Some of us in this room, we can look at it from a worldly perspective. We're getting close to the end. I would encourage you, that's wrong. According to Billy Graham, we're getting closer and closer to home. It's not the end. It's not the end. I share it often at funerals. Our words, our talk is wrong. We think we're in the land of the living, headed for the land of the dying, but it's not true. In Christ, that's not how it is. Not at all. Not to discourage or disappoint you. We're living right now in the land of the dying. Oh, but we're headed, thanks to Him. Thanks to Jesus, we're headed for the land of the living. Joy forevermore in His presence forevermore. Consider Him, the hope you have in Him. His love, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, His salvation, His power, His authority, His goodness, His kindness, His blessings that really do make us rich. The difference He makes, the hope He gives. What else? As you consider Him, as you fix your eyes and thoughts on Him, on Jesus, what is it that you think about? What is it that you reflect on? What about it all settles in your mind and in your heart? Let me leave you with this morning. First, whatever it is that you consider as you consider Him, all that you consider as you consider Him, listen, settle that in your heart this morning. Let there be no doubt. Let there be no question. Let there be no confusion. He does not treat me as my sins deserve. Settle that as the foundation today so that when the devil attacks you tomorrow with condemnation, you will be able to stand on the foundation that you've created. No, devil, it's a lie. He does not treat me as my sins deserve. He's forgiven me. He's cleansed me. He's washed me. He's redeemed my life from the pit. He's restored and renewed me. He's good to me, generous and kind to me. He meets all my needs. Settle that as the foundation today so that when tomorrow the need arises, whether than being shaken in your faith or knocked over because of the need, you will take your stand. Oh, but God is my provider. I don't need to worry. I don't need to be afraid. He blesses me in and with an abundance. He rescues me, delivers me from all my afflictions. Settle that in your heart today. No question, no doubt, no confusion about any of it. He delivers me from all my affliction. Yes, He does. Gives me a hope and a future. He heals me. Listen, He heals you. And He's the Savior, my Savior. who has all power and all authority. Will you remember that on Wednesday? Oh, but he has all power. He has all authority. Will you remember it when this world continues on its path and ultimately ends up in a place of mass confusion and chaos and devastation and even destruction? All that we read in the news, when something finally happens, like we hear it's going to happen, China does something they ought not do, Russia does something more they ought not do, the world erupts. You settle in your heart today, this is the foundation. Oh, but none of them are in control of this thing, because he has all the authority and all the power. You settle that today for whatever would shake you or even shake the world tomorrow. Settle that along with all the rest that you would consider as you consider him. Every aspect of your life, every day, every moment, every difficulty you face, every stressful situation. Oh, how our lives would be different. Every wilderness, every valley you have to navigate through, if it were all filtered, considered, experienced, and responded to through the filter of who Jesus is and what Jesus does. Listen, you're going to walk into the doctor's office and hear things you don't want to hear. You're going to make too many visits to the hospital. You're going to be treated harshly, unfairly by people. Some of them may be even very close to you. You're going to sit in the boss's office and hear from him that you're fired. Listen, the devil's going to attack you. He's coming after you. He's out to get you right here, right now, planning, devising ways, setting up the attack against you, your home, your marriage, your family. Make there to be trouble in it all. Sickness, financial trouble, struggling relationships, broken relationships, uncertainty, discouragement, stress, worry, fear, and frustration. Family, children, grandchildren, literally breaking our hearts because of bad decisions, loneliness, grief, heartache. Listen, it really is true. That's sort of our lot in life. All of the above. Even Jesus warned, in this world, there's going to be trouble, lots of trouble, all kinds of trouble. But listen, this also is true. Jesus as your foundation, the cornerstone for you. Jesus, carefully considering him, your eyes, your thoughts fixed on him. Anything and everything of life filtered, considered, experienced, and responded to through the filter of who he is and what he does, what you've heard, what you know, what you've seen, what you've experienced from him. And you then in him will be victorious, more than a conqueror in it all. Your lot in life will be the trouble. Jesus promised it would be. But your journey through life will be one of triumphant procession, a victory parade, if you can settle it in your heart today, without question, without doubt. This is who he is. This is what Jesus does. This is who Jesus is. This is what he does for me. This is what I've heard. What I know, what I've seen and experienced, consider Jesus and all that you consider of him. Set that as the foundation of your life. Set him as the foundation. And second, be encouraged. Listen, be encouraged today, my brother. Be encouraged, my sister, in who he is and in what he does. Listen, know your God today. And be lifted up because you do. Know your God today and let your life, even in the midst of all its troubles, let your life be different because you do. In 1 Samuel 30, David was distressed, but then he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. If you're distressed today, do the same as David did. In 1 Samuel 23, David was betrayed by a city he had saved. Saul was coming for him. They would surrender him to Saul. So David flees and finds himself betrayed on the run in the wilderness, a desert place. But there, Jonathan finds him. And there, Jonathan helped David find strength in God. If you've been betrayed, feel alone, feel yourself in a dry desert wilderness place, you need a Jonathan. Let me be a Jonathan to you today. Listen, strengthen yourself in Jesus. Who he is, what he does. And by the way, if you know someone who's been betrayed, alone or lonely, seems to be now in a dry desert wilderness place, listen, you be the Jonathan to them. Go and tell them about who Jesus is and what Jesus does. In Luke 7, John the Baptist is wrongly imprisoned, calls two of his disciples, in verse 19, sends them to the Lord to ask this question: are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? You understand? The man who had first proclaimed Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, his faith is wavering. If he's the one to come, why is he taking so long to get me out of here? John needs some strengthening. John needs some help. John needs some encouragement. The men come to Jesus and they asked him. Verse 21, I love the word of Scripture. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sickness and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he, Jesus, replied to the messengers, go back, listen now, and report to John what you have seen and what you have heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. At just the right time, there was a message for John to be strengthened in the Lord, and who he knew the Lord to be, and what he knew the Lord to do, and what he had heard and known and seen and experienced, even if just by way of the two disciples that reported back to him. Consider Jesus this morning. And all that you consider of him, let it draw you to him. Do you understand this morning? There's just no one like Jesus. Isn't it true? It's just no one like him. Let your life be consumed by, let your life be driven by something other than him, and you've settled for something less. Listen to me this morning. Don't settle. You understand who he is? Do you understand what he does? Do you understand this Jesus? Oh, then chase after him. Run after him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. As the deer pants for the water brook, oh, so may your soul long for him today. And finally, this morning, it's really the message within the message. It's our mission's message. Finally, you're there already. In Acts chapter 3, there's the healing of the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. The healing draws a crowd. The man crippled from birth was now running through the temple praising God. Peter and John begin to preach to the crowd all about Jesus. And then this in Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. The rulers, the elders, the teachers of the law, they all met together and ultimately decided on this response in verse 18. They called Peter and John in and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And Peter's response, verse 20. We cannot keep quiet. Listen, we must speak about the wonderful things we saw Jesus do and we heard Jesus say. This really the simple message of missions. Listen, this is why we pray for our missionaries. This is why we give to missions. This is why we send missionaries. This is why we go to our neighbor, to our friend, to the other student, to the colleague at work. We go simply to tell them about Him. What we've heard, what we know, what we've seen, what we've experienced. You know, this is true and important for us to remember. We're not trying to sign people up for church. Listen, some, be careful this morning. Yes, it's good for you to invite people to church, but do you understand, that's not the ultimate goal, right? People don't need to just come to church. People need Jesus. Can I say it this way? You can invite them to church, but as long as you're having a conversation with them, you don't need to invite them to church. You need to tell them about Jesus. This is the goal. This is the objective. Not that they show up with you on a Sunday morning, but that they find Jesus and come to know Him. We're not trying to convince people related to a religion. We're not trying to change people. This has been our study in James. Listen, it is true. Your Christianity will, it must result in a new life and a new way of living. But to get people to live right and think right, that's not the goal. That's not the objective. Discipleship comes. It comes later, but not now. Now it's telling them about Him. This is why we pray. This is why we give. This is why we send. This is why we go. So that people might know Him. And this is what we do in our praying, in our giving, in our sending and going. This is what we do. We go to tell people about Him. What we've heard, what we know, what we've seen, what we've experienced in Jesus and because of Jesus. I love the words of this song. I can't take a heart that's broken, make it over again. I can't take a soul that's sin sick, clean it up and wash it white, white as snow. I can't walk among the waters, and I can't calm the raging sea. And I can't cause blinded eyes to be open, or the lame to get up and walk again. Do you remember? Do you know it? Oh, but I know a man who can. Some call Him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call Him Jesus. He's my dearest friend. Do you understand? Very simply put, this is what we do. We tell the world about a man who can. Plagued by sin, by sickness, bound in addiction, overwhelmed by worry and fear and anxiousness, consumed by grief. I can't help with that, but I know a man who can. This last week, I received a letter from a missionary that serves among college students in Chicago. A couple of weeks ago, she writes, I felt God wake me up early and tell me to pray for my small group. As I started praying for each one, I got overwhelmed by the spiritual state of many of them. One who's questioning following God after her mom's cancer diagnosis. One who's in the process of healing after leaving a cult. One who believes in an energy, not a good God reigning over the universe. And many who believe they are saved just because they are kind. How do you answer those questions? How do you help? How do you minister to students, to people like that, believe like that, going through things like that? This is how. You very simply tell them all you've heard, all you know about the man who can. You tell them all you've seen and all you've experienced in Him. And because of Him, this is what we do. This is missions. This is why we give to missionaries, why we pray for missionaries. They can go then into parts of the world that we can't. They can go into all the world and tell to every nation, every tribe, every tongue, all about the wonderful things of Jesus, all about what they've heard, what they know, what they've seen, what they've experienced in Him and because of Him. This is why we have the conversation at work. This is why we go across the street and talk to our neighbor. For sure it's true. All of us, no doubt, know somebody who needs Him. I think of Jim and Colleen. I think of Bruce and Julie. I think of those that I've worked with at the funeral home. I think of the elderly Jewish ladies that I drive around town. I think of the teachers I've subbed for, the students in their classes. I think of 1,200 students at that high school just across the street. We all know somebody. Surely we do. And no wonder then, the mandate of missions. Yes, go into all the world, but let me give it to you in the context of Acts. We cannot, we do not stop talking about what we have heard, what we know, what we've seen, and what we've experienced. Whenever we go, wherever we go, we can't stop, we don't stop, we always and only talk and tell everyone we meet about the man who can. Do you understand? We consider Jesus this morning. We carefully consider Him. We fix our eyes. We fix our thoughts on Him. And as we do, oh, I pray for you this morning. All that you consider becomes the foundation of every day, every hour, every moment, every experience in your life. The foundation that you stand on so that you are not shaken. That it all would be reason why today you are strengthened in the Lord. Let me be a Jonathan to you. Let me remind you of who Jesus is as we consider Him together. Let me tell you about His love. Let me tell you about His grace. Let me tell you about how He provides for all that you need. Let me tell you about Him. He's the healer. Be encouraged today. Be strengthened in the Lord today. All that you would consider, oh, I pray for you this morning. Let it draw you to Him. And I pray as you consider Him, you sense a prompting, a compelling by His Spirit to not keep quiet. In a couple of weeks, when you hold that faith promise card in your hand, I'm not going to keep quiet. When you're walking through the grocery store tomorrow, and you see that one, and you sense that prompting and that compelling. No, I'm not going to keep quiet. When you go, wherever you go, to anyone, to everyone, you tell them about the man. You share with them all that you've heard, all that you know, all that you've seen, all that you've experienced. You share with them the wonder and the wonderful Jesus. Father, I pray this morning that as we consider You, that our eyes are opened. We come with our request, even as the Greeks did. Oh, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. We want our eyes fixed on Him. We want our thoughts fixed on Jesus. We want our hearts fixed on Jesus. Lord, I pray that You open the ears of my brothers and sisters this morning to hear, to be reminded, the words from my mouth, Jesus, who You are and what You do. I pray that it's the right word for this moment, the word they needed to hear. Oh, my Jesus, He's all I need. Because He does provide, because He does save, because He does deliver, because He is gracious, because He is kind, because He does bless, because He is sovereign, He has all authority, and He has all power. And Lord, I pray, even just for the moment, that in the hearts of my brothers and sisters, as they consider You, Jesus, that You would lay on their heart by Your Spirit, speak to them the words that I've not spoken to remind them of who You are. Let them hear from You this morning Oh, Spirit of the living God, begin to move through this place. Bring to our minds, settle in our thoughts, this is who Jesus is. This is what Jesus does. As we consider Him, as we think on Him, this is what we think on. This is what we consider. This is what settles over us. Oh, no doubt about it, it would be the right word, the timely word for each one. Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning. Speak to us this morning. Would you just take a moment? I know we sort of started the message this way, but would you just take a moment to consider Jesus? What else do you think of? What else is in your mind as you consider Him? Set that as the foundation. Be encouraged, be strengthened by that. Oh, see Jesus this morning in all of His beauty, in all of His glory, all of His wonder. Let it make you to lay some stuff down because it's bogging you down and you want to run harder after Jesus. It's the Spirit prompting that within you. Let's lay that down so you can chase after Jesus more and better. Let the Spirit prompt you, compel you. We're not going to keep quiet. Jesus, who's like that, who does that, we don't keep that Jesus quiet. We don't keep Him to ourselves. We share Him with the whole world. And this morning, as we come to the Lord's table, would you take a moment to consider Jesus and what He's done for you? Would you see again Jesus on the cross, broken, beaten, battered? Listen, brother, sister, that's for you. As you consider Jesus, you consider Him on the cross. This is what He's done for you. His shed blood for you. As we look to the cross, that's what we see. The shed blood of Jesus for us. For our sins. So that we can be made whole. As we consider You, Jesus, our hearts are drawn to Calvary this morning. And I pray that it would be true. Calvary would be the foundation. All of us encouraged by Calvary. All of us drawn to Calvary today like even we've never been drawn before. And all of us prompted and compelled by the Spirit to share with a sin-stricken world. Oh, but Calvary. Calvary cleanses. Calvary washes. Calvary purifies. Calvary, there, the Lamb crucified. Means by which our sins are forgiven. Sin plague no more because of Calvary. On the night He was betrayed, He took the bread, He broke it, and gave thanks. This is My body broken for you. We remember His body broken for us. We celebrate His body broken for the healing of ours this morning. I want to encourage you, by faith, receive His healing today. This is not tradition. This is not just something we do. This is a reminder. In His broken body, by His stripes, we are healed. We are healed. Let our hearts be filled with faith this morning. His healing is for me. His healing is for me today. My brother, his healing is for you. My sister, his healing is for you in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the bread together. And he took the cup and gave thanks. This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Just for a moment, would you invite him to forgive you, cleanse you? Lord, I've done wrong. I've spoken wrong. I've thought wrong. I've acted wrong. Just once more this morning, as maybe you've done even throughout the week and maybe every Sunday you would do, and every communion Sunday, would you just take hold of the cross? Oh, this is my life. This is my hope. If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, Lord, who could stand? No one. No one. Not me. Not me. There's no hope for me. Oh, but there is forgiveness with thee because of Calvary, and therein my hope today. For your cleansing need, there is the cross of Calvary for you, for me. We ask you to forgive us, cleanse us, make us whole. We repent, not just sorry for our sin, but ready to turn away from it and walk now into life, holiness, and purity. The blood not only cleanses, the blood empowers. We walk in the power that's in the blood of Jesus today. We walk in victory. In Jesus' name, let's take the cup together. We thank you, Jesus. I want to pray his blessing over you. Just before I do, would you stand to your feet and would you thank him? Thank him for who he is. Thank him for what he does. Thank him for the cross. Thank him for his broken body. You do that in your own words just for a moment. Lift your hands and worship him. Clap your hands and praise him. Whatever you do, just let him know for a moment. Jesus, 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 I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for who you are, for what you do. For who you are to me, for what you've done for me. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Begin to rehearse some of the things even that we've mentioned this morning. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you're for me. I thank you that you forgive me. I thank you that you save me. I thank you that you cast all of my sins into the bottom, the depths of the deepest ocean. I thank you that you're my provider. I thank you that you're my healer. I thank you that I don't have to worry about this world, because you are the sovereign God that rules over it all. You have all authority. You have all the power. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you. We honor you. We worship. Come on, just worship him for a moment. Just worship. Just exalt him. Jesus, I love you. Let him hear it from you. Oh, how I love you. My Jesus, my Jesus. Oh, how I love you. How I want to live for you. How I want to serve you all of my days. There's none like you, Jesus. No wonder we give our lives to you. No wonder we want to serve you. There's no one like you. There's none. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray this morning that you consider Jesus today and all this week and for weeks to come. Consider him. Would you lift your hands? I pray. I declare his blessing over you as well. On the authority of God's word, under shepherd of the great shepherd, high priest of this assembly, I declare it. I speak it as so in your life. The Lord bless you and keep you. the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, receive that. Would you say amen? Take hold of that this morning. Amen and amen.